Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, our text this morning is the epistle text. And in the epistle text, we hear about God's moral law, His command, His institution of marriage. So today our theme is God and marriage. And you may be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I think it should be self-evident to us that the institution of marriage is facing a grave and deep crisis in our society today. The foundational relationship of one man and one woman on which a family is to be built is slowly and methodically being destroyed. Low morals or no morals, self-serving attitudes, overzealous ambitions, the desire by man, as prompted by the devil, to destroy all that God has instituted, and that includes His holy word. To destroy anything and everything that God calls good and holy. Therefore, there are very few people in this world, save true Christians, who truly know what marriage is. It's clear to each and every one of you, it goes without saying, I think, that there has been an overall decline of commitment of husband and wife. And not only that, we see that it tears at the fabric of the family and destroys society itself. The sacred union of one man and one woman, as ordained by God, has already been changed by those who think that they, with a lowercase g, by the way, are gods. So this morning, we all will hear about God and marriage. What God has to say about His holy institution, which He created from the very beginning. But before we do this, we have to back up a little bit. Because we have to place our text this morning into context. And therefore, we have to back up to our epistle lesson from last week. So we begin this morning by reading Ephesians 5:15-21, just for a little foundation for us. Now see to it carefully that you conduct yourselves, not as unwise, but as wise, buying the right time, for the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, for that leads to wastefulness, debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that last participle, dear friends, that last participle is the one that grates, that offends the ear of modern society. Submit? I am to submit to one another? I mean, I am to submit to you and you to submit to me? Why, I can never do that. Because I am I and me is me and what I want is what I want. And therefore, I submit to no one. But notice that God is speaking to Christians here. He is speaking to you and me. And we are to submit to one another out of reverence, out of respect for Christ Jesus. So this brings us to our text this morning, which you have already heard read. And just for the sake of time, I won't read it, but I ask that you follow along with me there on your bulletin insert. And you see that Paul begins this morning. The Holy Spirit first begins this morning by first saying that we are to submit to each other. This is a loving relationship that we are to have with each other. It's to be respectful. It's to be loving. It's to be generous. We are to be speaking, singing, making, and giving. All of this out of reverence for Christ. Why out of reverence for Christ? Why out of respect for Jesus? Well, my dear friends, may I remind you that Jesus himself submitted to his Father. Jesus submitted to the will of his Heavenly Father by coming to this earth, by coming into this cesspool of sin, and going to the cross for you and me. By washing away all of our sins, as your children just heard, he came to submit to his Father's will so that you and I can live, and not only live here on this earth, but live with him forever in his kingdom. So, what does Paul say to wives? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. The word submit, if we misdefine it, or if we add to it the modern definition or the Western definition, then it does offend. But when we apply the biblical definition of submission, we fully understand it. And the definition is out of reverence to Christ, for Christ himself submitted to his Father. You see, when we are giving, husbands, and when we are giving, wives, this submission thing is not hard. It's actually very loving. It's very generous. It's very devout. It's very edifying. But what's the problem in our marriage relationships today? Why is there no submission? Well, in a word, you and I can spell it quite well. S-I-N. Sin comes in. The self-centeredness sin of not wanting to work in the marriage. Of making marriage all about me, myself, and I. And husbands, when you make your marriage about yourself, all about yourself, your wife will lose respect for you. And wife, when you make the marriage all about yourself, it becomes very hard for your husband to love you. You see, that's not the ideal. We are to be a unity. That's why there is one flesh, not two flesh, one flesh. We are joined together into a unity that is to love and to respect each other. For when the husband truly loves his wife, the wife finds it very generously and very cheerfully able to respect her husband, just as the church respects our Lord Jesus, for we know that he loves us because he has proven it. You see, the problem in marriage is today that the loving couple, they don't live as one flesh, they live as two flesh. They think they're still singles, but they're not singles, they are one. They are a unity. Therefore, they allow career or special interest or another woman or another man to have priority over their relationship with their wife or husband. Sin. Sin comes in and it destroys. Sin will ultimately force us to see that, as you've already heard, those people up there in D.C. who wear those black robes, they have made themselves a god with a lowercase g. And when the husband doesn't love his wife, he makes himself to be his own god. And when the wife doesn't respect her husband, she makes herself into a lowercase g god. Sin. No, this submission thing, this subjection to each other, is actually quite important. And is actually quite loving. It's actually quite respectful. It's actually quite Christian. You see, the we becomes us. It's no longer I or me, it's we and us. It's sharing of yourselves with husband and wife. It's a genuine gift of love that has been given to you by Christ Jesus himself. For in the love that you have for your husband and the love that you have for your wife is the same love that Jesus has for his church, for you and me. Subjecting to one's own self-interest for the good of the spouse and for the good of the marriage, yes, is very difficult. Why is it so hard for the husband to love his wife, to subject himself to his wife. Why is it so hard for the wife to submit to her husband? It's because of our sinful human nature. That's the bottom line. It's because we are sinful human beings. Yet we do have a role model. We have a very divine model that we could follow. And Paul lines it out for us very clearly in our text this morning. And that model is clearly our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, love comes from God. Husbands, your love for your wife comes from God. And what is the definition of love? I know that there are many men, especially young men, when they hear about love, they think of the thing that we shouldn't really be talking about in church, sex. No, that's not love. Love is a self-sacrificial giving of oneself for your wife and only for your wife, not for another woman, not for your career, not for sports or television or this little thing you play with your thumbs, young men. That's not love. Love is a total self-sacrificing devotion to your wife and to her only. And when the wife knows that you love her, the wife will respect you. For the wife understands what love is. You see, guys, this should not be a surprise to any of us, but your lady sitting next to you, she is wired differently than you. Women understand emotions. Women understand love. We guys, we just don't get it sometimes. So we especially have to work hard at this. Of what love truly is of sacrificing our time, of sacrificing those things that we like to do for her and her only. I know it's hard, but be out of respect for Christ, we must do it because that's what Christ calls us to do. Yes, I know, wives, it's very hard to respect your husband, especially when you know that he does not love you. For there's nothing worse in this world than a wife not to be loved by a husband. She feels that she's on an island all by herself and there's no one there to care for her. There's no one there to love her. She's out there, if you will, flapping in the wind, and there's no one there to wrap their arms around her and to say to her, "My dear, I love you. I truly love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, because that's what Christ has called me to do." My dear sisters, if you don't respect your husband, it's because your husband is not loving you. And that's why it's important. That's why it's important, especially in this congregation. This pastor will never, ever marry anyone unless they've come to premarital counseling. And they understand what it means to submit to God, to submit to husband, and for the wife to submit also to her husband, and for the husband to submit to the wife. This love and respect thing is so, so important. As you look at our text, dear husbands, what do you notice? Verses 25 to 31, all pointed to you. So where's the burden? The burden is on the shoulders of the husband. It's the husband who is the leader in the home, and it is the husband who's responsible to ensure that the marriage is based upon God's word, that the husband is loving his wife, and when the husband loves the wife will respect her husband. Just as the church respects our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we know he loves us, for he died for his bride, he rose for his bride, and he's coming again for his bride. I know this is difficult. It's difficult for many men to hear because many men have many other interests in life. But when you stand here, gentlemen, and when you say that I will love and cherish my wife and forsake all others, very, very key term, forsaking all others, that means that you have just made a covenant. You have made a covenant not only with your bride, but you have made a covenant with God himself. But Satan wants you to break that covenant. Satan doesn't like the covenants that you make. Oh, he loves divorce. Satan loves it because when Christians are getting divorced, it shows that this God thing, this word of God thing, oh, it doesn't work. But it does work. It does work, husbands, when you truly love your wife. And when a husband truly loves his wife, now for the fourth or fifth time, yes, the wife will respect you. You see, it really is a very beautiful cycle. Love and respect. Love and respect. Love and respect. But when there's no love, how can there be respect, gentlemen? When you truly don't love your wife, how in the world can you expect her to respect you? It doesn't work. The cycle is broken. And therefore, the Word of God looks like it's ineffective. It places a scar upon the body of Christ. And that scar is ever widening today as divorce is becoming more and more rampant. There is less love and there's less respect. There's less submitting to one another. Thanks be to God, though. Thanks be to God that He sent His Son. That He sent His Son to die for our sins. For in the washing, in the rebirth of water, as you've heard in the Word this day, and also in the blood of the Lamb, your sin is washed away. Yes, husbands, and this includes this husband, there are times when we find it very difficult to express our feelings to our wives. But we must think about what Christ has done for us and what He has done for your wife. And express that love to your wife. And yes, wives, I know it's hard to respect a man who's running out behind you, who is only thinking of football or work or other things, and you think that his mind and heart isn't placed solely upon you. It's very hard. It's very hard to respect an unfaithful man, a man whose sole ambition is something other than you. But gentlemen, when you truly love your wife, she will have no problem. She will lovingly, cheerfully, joyfully respect you. And therefore, that's why the church respects our Lord Jesus. For Jesus has proven Himself to be a loving husband. He sacrificed Himself, shed His blood for you and me, and has washed away all of our sins. So therefore, if your marriage is in trouble, come and talk to me. And you will hear. You will hear the word of the God, and you will hear what God has done for you. There will be confession, and there will be absolution. And then we will look at God's word, and we will begin to work on what love truly is and what respect truly is. For it is God's desire. It is God's desire that you live as one, that you live in this unity of marriage, and that it be a joyful and happy marriage. Until the day that your heavenly bridegroom comes for you and takes his bride, his church, to be with him forever. May God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless you husbands as you love your wives. And may God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless you wives as, yes, you respect your husband and also love your husband. For the love of God is this, that He sent His Son to die for us, to save us from our sins, and to welcome us into His kingdom forever and ever. God in marriage, it's all about Him. It's all about our Lord. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.